And
he was
Flint.
still working
And
for
he
the
was
British
still with the
Council.
British Council, and he had a very good job. He was director of what was called International House, and it was a place where students could come from all over the world and learn English or speak English, and it was like a lovely cafe, and he made lots of friends in Edinburgh, got to know a lot of painters and poets and all kinds of people to do with the festival. He had a I always envied him a bit. Here I was stuck with the kids, and he was sitting in Princes Street in this nice place. So he was there for 2 years. And then they said, well, it's time you moved on, and that's when we moved to Göttingen.
Right.
Right. So in Göttingen, I said, well, Alison, she was two by this time, she'd better just go to a nursery school. And the only option really was a German one. So she grew up speaking German, really.
And the other two?
And the other two went to a British Army school. There was
I
a British
see.
Army school. And Keith, awkward as ever, he said, I don't like that teacher, I'm not going to school. And he didn't,
Right.
for about 3 months, I think. He just lay on the floor. No, I'm not going to that one. Don't like the teacher. And he just didn't go until luckily the teacher was moved, and
And
then
he
he
was
was all
willing to
right.
go.
And
And how long were you in Göttingen?
we were there for 4 years. And of course, we got friendly with the army people, and there was a Nafe to do the shopping, and Alison. We had a little dackel, and one day Alison just walked out, and then a workman came to our door. He said, you know, we've just seen this little girl with a dackel walking across the road into the park with Alison. She was very independent. And then we had pretty awful. The houses were all owned by German old Nazis, and they took them away from them and put people like us and army people in them, and the people who owned our house were pretty awful. So in the end, we said we really want to move from there. And across the road from us lived Otto Hahn, you know, the man, the German physicist who became, he was really instrumental in working out the bomb for the Germans, a physicist, very famous physicist. And Keith was very friendly with his wife. He used to go over there, and she always would talk to him and give him cups of tea and things. So they said, oh, you could move to our house. And that was just around the corner, another very nice house. So we did that. We lived in their house for a long time.
In a separate flat.
No, we had the whole house.
Right. And
And they
we're
just had a flat because of only the two of them, you know. They
right.
said, well, that's fine. And we lived among other quite famous physicists and people, you know, got to know them. And Donald worked in the university, didn't like his boss very much. He wasn't very nice, but he had a very nice assistant, nice lady. Some nice people and him, some not so nice people, and I got to know some people, and there was a very, very good German theater, one of the, well, at that time it was the best theater in Germany, it was in Göttingen, so.
And was it more difficult for you because you had been a Jewish refugee, do you think, or
It's hard
not?
to say, really, because we were so much among the British company now, you know. I mean, this old lady, she was a German. There were German friends, but they understood, you know, where I came from and who I was. So it was both good and bad. Some of it not so good, some of it was fine. And then, of course, I did have German friends, I mean, from before. So I went to see them, Munich, old relations. And oh, there's so much, you know. I can't tell you at all.
No, of course not.
An awful lot.
But I believe you then ended up in Iceland, is that right?
But not much, quite a lot later than that. I mean, from Germany, we moved to Persia, to Tehran. And
again with the British Council?
Yes, yes. And that was not always good. But Donald didn't like it because he said it's like a factory. So many people wanting to learn English. He had these thousands on the street waiting to sign up for the classes, you know, and he was really getting terribly fed up with it, didn't like it. We had a very nice villa, which we rented from actually Jewish people. It was Persian Jewish people who had emigrated to Switzerland, and we rented their house. So we had a very nice house and a swimming pool and a dog and a bit of a delicate lady servant who just sat at the door waiting for orders, you know. And she was what they call Turki. She was Turkish, really. And that's why we had her, because I could speak to her in Turkish. But then one time, and then we had Jewish, very good Jewish friends who worked for the Jewish Alliance. And one summer we left them with a maid, and he was a doctor. He said, "You better get rid of her, she's got TB.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh God, I didn't know that." And so they fed her penicillin and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And then, in between, I said, I must go and see my folks in America. So I managed to go with Alison. No, I'd already gone with Kirsten and Keith before, but this time, was it from Persia? No, it wasn't from Persia, it was from Italy. Anyway, we stayed in Persia for 2 years and then had to leave, really. It just was unbearable. There was so much antagonism, you know.
Towards the British?
Towards the British. And we were moved. But the children in Persia went to a German school because it was the only one that really looked after the children properly. All the others, you couldn't be sure that they wouldn't be abducted by some people or something. So they went to the German school, and one time Adenauer came, you know, and so the photographs of Adenauer with Alison dancing for him. But they were good, you see, they looked after the kids properly. So, of course, when we went to Italy, I said, oh, well, that's okay. There's a German school here in Milan. You know, the kids can just go there. And that's what they did. They went to the German school. But by this time, I had already been to America with Kirsten and Keith. Well, I won't tell you all that story. But this time, I said, I better go with Alison. So we took the liner, ocean liner, and went to America, Alison and I, and I said, oh, well, this is a good chance for Alison to go to an English-speaking school. So when I took her there, the teacher didn't like her. She said, oh, she's no good, she's far behind, you know, in age, and she was awful.
Because you were going to stay a bit with your parents, was
well,
that your intention?
2 months or something,
right.
You know, just paying a visit,
yes.
But...
Right.
And so poor Alison, she really had a bad time there in America. It wasn't any good. But I had lots of friends there, you know, both relatives and friends, and we had quite a good time. And then on the way back again in the Italian liner, I met two very nice ladies, English, and they were very good with Alison and really kind, you know. And when I got back to Italy, of course, there was Donald, and he had looked after the kids with the help of our cook, Italian cook. And she was a very good lady. She came from the country. She was a real country lady. And the kids had a wonderful time. Donald looked after them really well, took them skiing and all kinds of things. And they were asked to join a television program which came up every week, I think, where they had to be an English-speaking family. So that was Donald and the wife of the British Council boss in Milan, and Keith. They made up the family. And and they were on the television, and they got paid very well for this program. Just fun, really. So that was fine. And we had a wonderful flat right in the center of Milan. And then Keith went on the bus to school, and the bus was on a circular road in Milan, you know. And so sometimes the conductor, he would look after Keith, and sometimes he wouldn't let him off at the school. He said, "You haven't done enough Italian yet, you have to stay on the bus." Keith didn't mind, just stayed on the bus. But they went to the German school in Milan, which was a very good school. But we were only there for 2 years. 2 years, I think. Yeah, not long, anyway. And made friends outside Milan. And even now, Kirsten says to me, "Oh, you abandoned me there in a children's home that I didn't want to go to," and, you know. And Alison went to a children's home. She was a bit better about it.
Why were they at a children's home?
Well, you know, we had so much to do in Milan. There was so much going on that I thought, well, they're better out of the way in the countryside, and it's nice in the mountains. And
you mean it was a kind of boarding school?
No, were just children's homes, really. Right. And the school that Kirsten and Keith had to go was part of their proper school, and they just had camps, you know.
I see.
So I thought, oh, that'll be all right. No, no. I had to fetch Keith back. He wasn't happy, and Kirsten now says she wasn't happy there either, oh, but dear. She didn't say anything.
Was that in the summer holidays?
Not really, no. It was sort of school camps.
Right. I see.
And so, well, after that, then we came back. That's when we went to Iceland. And, of course, going to Iceland meant I couldn't take the kids because, well, I didn't want to have to put them in Icelandic school. But we did take Alison with us for a year and try to teach her ourselves, you know, that there's a special
home teaching.
I forget what it's called. But it didn't work really terribly well. And the kids by this time now went to Dollar. Because I said, well, if they have to go to a boarding school, I'd like them to be together. And Dollar, of course, is a co-educational school. And Donald happened to know the headmaster from times past. Right. The teachers all know each other. Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be quite a bad choice in a way, because what happened? He got chucked out, this man. And did the school go on fire or something? There were problems. But anyway, they were at the school. And they were allowed to come every holiday. The British Council paid for the kids to come to Iceland. Mm. To visit us, and they did that, and they had a very nice time in Iceland, and, you know, all got friendly, and especially with the British and American embassy, and the girl then, who was the same age as them in the American embassy, they are still friendly with here now, because She's now married to a Scotsman, and she won't go back to America. She lives here, so they still see her, and they still know the British ambassador's kids, and you know that's all been fine, really. That in a way, difficult in some other ways, but there are connections.
And during all this time, were you just a mum at home, or did you?
And I would be, well, I was by this time back in Edinburgh, and so I thought, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to sit here fiddling. So I looked up the paper. I looked at the Times, and I thought, no, what's important? You know, what jobs are there for somebody my age?
How old were you by
then?
Well,
I was 40-something.
Right.
And it was either chiropody or social work. Oh, I said chiropody, poking in people's feet, I don't fancy that. I'll see what social work will be about. So I applied here to Murray House and they looked at me and they said, well, you're okay, but you haven't got any experience. I said, what are you looking for? What more experience could I have? You know, I thought I had plenty. Maybe not exactly social work, but you know.
Of life.
Life, that's right. They said, well, that's not right. We need social work experience. So they put me together with a very nice man who took me on as a sort of
apprentice,
who supervised me, really. And he took me, and he put me together with a very nice Jewish lady who was just a year ahead of me, and she took me on as a kind of, well, anyway, helper. And she worked in clinics, and I worked with her for a year, and then I went back again and said, no, I've done that, you know, am I all right to start on the course? And I did. That's then when I started social work course here at Murray House and did 2 years and qualified and started working as a social worker.
And what were you doing as a social worker?
Well,
I
first worked for out in the country for a country practice. And after 2 years, I started working in Edinburgh. But again, mostly out in the country.
And Donald, was he retired by this time?
No, he was in Iceland.
Oh, you left him behind in Iceland?
Yes, oh yes.
I didn't realize that.
No, he came back. But not the same time as me. I think he stayed longer.
Right.
No, I'm not telling you. No, he came back and he said, well, I'll teach, that's right. And so the job he got was in Dunfermline, so he had to cross over on the bridge every day. And after a year, so that's, I can't be bothered with that anymore. And he got a job at the blind school. And of course, he didn't have a clue about teaching blind people. But they said, well, you'll have to do a course in Wiltshire or somewhere. There's a college for teaching of the blind. And Donald did that. He did a course. He went and qualified. And they liked him a lot. And the kids loved him in the blind school. He was there for years and years and years until really late on, when he shouldn't have been teaching anymore. But they said, no, it doesn't matter. Just come and take the kids, you know. And he did that until he was in his 80s.
I see.
Yeah. He was in the blind school for many, many years. Yeah. They still knew him there.
Of course.
He was swimming there, and they were very nice to him. That's right, I nearly forgot. He worked.